Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money? Still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you ready for violence, Keith?
Oh, I am ready. I chose violence, Jones, like every member of the Patriots yesterday. I chose violence.
Woo, what a game.
I don't think I'm as ready as those guys were. Those guys were quite ready.
No.
They were more ready than we are.
Wow.
They were very much ready to go last night.
Christian Ellis.
Friend of the show.
Best friend of the show.
Christian Ellis.
He gets our game ball.
We'll give him the game ball.
We don't have game balls to give out, but if we did, it's an IOU game ball.
You want to give him one clap?
Yeah.
One clap for Christian Ellis.
Yeah, holy smokes.
Yeah, that was...
destroying guys.
Loaded up on pretzel salad, I think is what it was. He might need to eat that more often.
Sure.
If he only eats that on Thanksgiving...
Oh, my God.
He might have to have it more because he morphed into, like, the ghost of Brian Cox. Morphed right into his body.
I was thinking Terry Tate. Office linebacker on the field. Guy was a menace last night.
Yeah.
Head on a swivel. Whether you're on offense for the Giants, special teams for the Giants, holy smokes, was he good.
It was awesome. It was a fun game.
It was great.
And they knocked a lot of it out early. Like, the second half was kind of a sleepwalk and just, you know.
You're up so big.
A zombie march right till the end of the game, into the bye week. Nobody got hurt, which is good. And so, yeah, I thought.
Nobody got hurt for the Patriots.
Well, true. The first half, though, Keith.
Yeah.
The first half was big hits, big returns, beautiful throws from Drake May. Giant miscues in there. That missed kick, I've legitimately, and I know everyone's saying it, no one's ever seen that. I've never seen that ever.
How many times did you watch it? They show the replay? I watched it several times.
I watched it more this morning.
I was like, oh my God, look at this.
At least.
What is that? And then his reaction afterward, like, the whole thing was bizarre.
He claims that he held up.
Held up.
There's no way he held up on that.
Yeah, what happened? Did you hear a whistle? This Whistlegate, bringing that back? Like, that was wild. I don't have it, guys. It was a good snap, good holds. No kick. Just kick the ground.
Meanwhile, the Giants are all up in arms, or at least the New York media is all up in arms about how dirty the Patriots are and they're big meanies. And so it feels pretty good. No.
They're coming across like babies.
They're coming across babies.
Like the Giants are.
Yeah.
Which is an ironic name in this case, Jones, because they do not seem like Giants today. I couldn't believe the outrage over tackles. Like, hitting. It's football. I thought we all, like football because of the hitting.
So, let me tell you.
One of the reasons is the hitting?
The Landry one to start the game. I don't think everybody realized it, meaning on the field.
Yeah.
Like, Landry mixed it up with one of the O-linemen after the hit. I don't think everybody realized Dart slid under that one. And maybe you didn't see that in real speed. And, like, Dart, it looked like he got the snot knocked out of him. The one on the sideline, it was a hard hit on your quarterback. I get wanting to stick up for your quarterback. He was clearly in bounds.
You didn't even need the replay. Like, in real time, you were like, he's trying to get an extra yard. He is fully in bounds. What do you want the defender to do? It was, like, the perfect hit by Christian Ellis. Sent him packing. But then the amount of people, like, the outcry of, like, the Patriots are dirty. Wrong. They're not.
Yeah, it's good.
And honestly, even if they were, go ahead.
Yeah, it's good for it to be back, though. I said this about the Hawkins penalty last night. It was a personal foul. And the Giants, I think, scored on the next play. So I was, regretting it.
Yeah.
But on the Hawkins personal foul, I'm like, good. Keep hitting the snot out of him.
Go ahead.
You guys want to go see a dead body?
There's a bunch of them on the field last night.
Like, Vrabel said this early in the year, and I didn't agree with it. He's like, whatever. Penalties. Who cares? Oh, if you're going to hit like that,
do
I agree.
It. I'll make it, yeah.
If you're going to hit like that, penalties, who cares?
Get your 15 yards worth.
If you're going to line up off sides like morons and get penalized 5 yards, or you're going to hold, or you're going to false start, like, I don't need those. But hits like that all night long, awesome.
But I can't believe, like, what a loser mentality it is. Can you imagine, like, if somebody on the Patriots got hit hard, and you're like, oh, you hit him too hard! Like, why do you watch football? Why are you into it at all? Like, it's very strange. And maybe that's what happens when your team's 2-11. You've already seen a bunch of your star players already get hurt, and you're just like, you're in this like never ending rut. It looks like you're going to be looking for a coach. Like, it is a downtime for the Giants if there ever was one. But like to criticize these clearly legal hits, I don't really understand it. But as a Patriots fan, it was awesome, and it was like they came out with like an extra sense of intensity. Maybe it was Monday Night Football. I don't know what it was, but they were fired up, ready to go, and really the whole game they were on it.
Well, we're gonna find out what it is. We're talking to Christian Ellis today.
Yes,
friend of the show, loaded up on pretzel salad.
I know. I wonder if he's still all gassed up.
Hunter Henry gonna join us today as well.
It
is
game.
A Patriots Monday on a Tuesday here on Jones and Keefe. So we'll get you all the Patriots Monday guests. We will also talk to Tommy Curran at high noon, get his thoughts on a Patriots win last night. Not a Giants win.
No.
A Patriots win last night. They will now not lose 3 in a row.
No, at least not starting now.
Over these next 3 games. Yeah. So we'll get his thoughts at high noon. It is a tier Tuesday. We're going to tier off all the NFL teams. You're going to want to see where the Patriots fit in. They might need their own tier.
They very well could.
Based on how they played last night. Plus a key for madness for you. 617-779-7937. Your phone number. You can talk to us all day long here on Jones and Keefe. You can interact Twitter and Instagram at Jones and Keefe. Watch along and chat. Twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Always, and I mean this sincerely, always a lot happening in the Twitch chat and on YouTube. You can watch, you can chat. Just subscribe to WEEI. Patriots brought the attitude, brought the energy, brought the physicality. Mm-hmm. Last night, Keefe, that is your Pepsi key takeaway, brought to you by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots. I would say that was probably their most complete victory, too. You hear coaches say this all the time,
yeah.
And mostly it's
yeah.
a cliche. All three phases, you got to marry up, special teams, defense, offense. For the first 30 minutes of the game, they genuinely really did that. It's not a cliche. It was all three phases married up. And you got a gift, too, with the Giants missing that kick. Because if he makes the kick and doesn't turf it, it's a one-score game. It's a 7-point game. But Marcus Jones, with the punt return to the house, the defense laying the lumber, largely playing good outside of a couple of poor tackling efforts on the Slayton touchdown and then the Singletary touchdown. And the offense hung 30 in the first half. Like, it was
yeah.
a complete win.
It was. And it's still one for Vrabel where there's stuff to kind of clean up. Like, it wasn't a perfect game, right? Like, you won convincingly. You had some highlight plays on all three phases of the game. Drake May had another MVP-type performance. He's got to be really happy with how the special teams played. You got a kick or you got a punt return touchdown. The defense was really good at times. But you still had some of your red zone and goal line issues. You still had
True.
Some running the ball issues on you know, third and short and stuff like that. So I'm sure. And then even, you know, not that you're going to shut out every team, but even a couple of the touchdowns that the Giants did score, you know, it seemed like maybe the play broke down a little bit. So, like, very, very happy with the win, very satisfied with the win. 10 straight wins is wild. To be 11-2, 13 games into the season is also crazy from where we were just a couple of months ago. But I think Vrabel's going to say, like, all right, we got to figure out the red zone. Because, yeah, you can make up for it when you're playing the Giants. But fast forward to the playoffs, like, we can't get down to the goal line and kick a 20-yard field goal. Like, you don't win a lot of big games with 20-yard field goals, I wouldn't think.
No,
so.
I would say that's
But overall, I mean, you're up 30-7, so obviously you let the foot off the gas a little bit. Like, I'm not surprised that they didn't score 60, right? Like, that usually in the NFL, you see a lot of times where a big half and then the third quarter, all right, we're going to run the ball a little bit more, maybe some shorter passes. Feel free to really, I thought they did a really good job, like, clock management wise, like, really letting the thing tick down to like 1-2 seconds on the play clock, then moving it on from there and just kind of bleeding the game. Because at that point, you were up, you had such a healthy lead, you didn't need to do anything stupid.
Checking the power rankings today, which are different than our tiers.
Yeah, very different.
Patriots number one on ESPN. Up from number two.
Wow.
They are number one.
Rams?
On ESPN, it is the Rams 2, yeah. Broncos 3, Seahawks 4, Packers 5. Over at PFT, Pats are number one, up from number 3. Broncos are 2, Rams are 3, Seahawks and Bears on that one.
The Bears.
So you're looking at arguably the best team in the league.
Crazy.
Arguably the most complete team in the league. And that was on display for the country last night. So you can discuss again all day long. 617-779-7937. I like listening to Vrabel on these Christian Ellis hits last night.
Yeah, he's great.
He talked about it this morning with Greg. We'll play that for you coming up. This was him after the game on the Ellis hits, plural, the big one on special teams, which was more borderline, and the one on the sideline on Jackson Dart. Here's Vrabel after the game.
Mike, you've said being aggressive and attacking a couple of times. Does the way... some of the way that Christian Ellis had some of those bigger hits at the beginning of the game, is that something that everybody feeds off of? Is that something that kind of gives you guys a lift?
I think I certainly did. I think our fans did. I think our team did. And again, that's, you know, it's a weekly reminder to the quarterback, our quarterback. You know, I mean, we show him every week. Like, I wouldn't get too cute over there by the sidelines. It happens every week. And so Christian's playing, you know, through the whistle, and as long as the player's in bounds, he's going to try to hit him legally. And then on the kickoff, you know, we take a lot of pride in covering kicks. It was a matchup. They were top five, and we were, you know, they were number five, and we were number six in kickoff, and I expect us to be in the top five, and, you know, that's what I try to tell our kickoff coverage team. So it was good to see that, you know, the impact that it can make, and, you know, turning the ball over as well.
Okay, so I heard him say a similar answer to Greg this morning about the special teams. I like that he's goal-oriented. Like, Belichick would never do that, for instance. Belichick would never tell the media, guys, we want to be top five.
Yeah.
And you're right, he might do it behind closed doors. He would never tell the media the expectation is to be top five because he doesn't want them to be sixth and then have it thrown in his face or whatever. Vrabel's not afraid to do that,
yep.
And I appreciate that. I also appreciate, and this is in the vein of what you were just talking about, Keith, teaching moments even in a win.
Oh, yeah.
He did it right there with Drake May. Like, hey, that's a reminder for our quarterback, too.
Yeah.
Get out of bounds. Get out of the way. Don't let that happen to you. There are lessons every single week. That was one of them.
Dart plays like a maniac.
Maniac.
And I thought going into the game that that was sort of the case. And then watching a full 60 minutes of him, like, it's worse than I thought.
And you could tell it was in his head, too, because there were a few plays where he was just running around back there, afraid to run. But just running around behind the line of scrimmage like a chicken
running
with his head cut off.
And then
he was afraid to take
push,
off.
Yep. And then, like, it's just so dumb. And that's exactly the type of play. Like, the great Christian Ellis hit could have easily been avoided if you step out of bounds 1 yard earlier. 1 yard earlier.
Or
you don't
slide,
even get hit.
May
or slide, stay in bounds. Yeah, May did a great job of that.
May did that on the sideline. Yeah. Right. He was managing the clock, but May did that on the sideline late in the
but
game.
But you easily could have. And this is the, like, this wasn't fourth down. You need to get a first down. Right. Like, this is the thing that even a young quarterback should know. If it's a first down or it's the last play of the game and you need to get in the end zone, or like these are different circumstances.
The Ellis play was second down, second and 13. They were right at the sticks. Like you don't need to get the first down there. You can live to get it on third down.
No, he plays like a wild man. And so like on the one hand, it can be entertaining. But on the other hand, it's like, all right, is he going to play 17 games in an NFL season? Like at any point? Not if he keeps playing like that.
Yeah, no.
It doesn't seem like it.
I mean, no chance. People
Brian Daboll's like, yeah, it was good. Good you let me go. That's smart. He's playing differently.
People are worried about Drake May. And again, I get it. I guess Vrabel is too.
Yeah,
but like,
yeah.
I get being terrified of Jackson Dart. I mean, again,
it's Anthony Richardson.
Yeah.
It's Anthony Richardson all over again.
Maybe.
The guy got hurt every game his rookie year. It
maybe.
Wild.
And that didn't go away.
No.
In fact, to the point where he had to take himself out of games for
get tired.
Getting a little sleepy.
Get a little gassed.
Meanwhile, this is Drake May. Asked about this after the game. I like how Buckley kind of tried to get the answer out of him. You hear any of this, Keith?
No, I didn't hear this part.
Here, let's hear this.
Your coach referenced the hit the other quarterback got and playing through the whistle, and he intimated that might have been a subtle reminder to you on certain plays on being careful about being taken down hard. So I guess two quick questions. Okay. Did that resonate with you in any fashion? And was there any winking or eye contact from your coach after that play?
No, I think it's
Was there any winking?
Okay, just put a pin in that.
All right,
file that away.
I'm thinking about it.
Buck's gonna circle back because he wants to know if there was winking or
was there
else.
Winking?
Yeah, yeah, okay, yeah,
winkgate.
Yeah.
And was there any winking or eye contact from your coach after that play?
No, I think it's something that's been across the league that showed up with quarterbacks near the boundary or near the sideline, just kind of relaxing. And I think I learned last year the Chargers, I had one on that same sideline over there. I got smacked on the sideline. So just be smart and know you almost got to accelerate or get down or do something over there. But I think Jackson, he makes some good plays with his feet, so he's tough to handle.
The coach didn't look at you and give you one of these or anything like that?
Yeah, I don't think you needed it. I don't think you needed to. You heard the hit double from Savon, so I think everybody in the stadium knew.
So his eye contact?
He gave you like a knowing glance,
he gave you like a little tap on the foot? Like a, none of that?
No.
Nothing, huh? Okay.
I already put that in my story. I was kind of hoping you could confirm that. Now I guess I'll take that out. Seems like that wasn't the case.
But Drake gave a good answer in there. He's like, look, this happened last year. I learned from it against the Chargers.
Yeah, he remembers where it was on the field and who it was against. Like, yeah, it's a learning moment. And I guess on the New York side of things, maybe Jackson Dart sort of learns from this. But, you know, we'll see. I think Drake May, though, does, because early in the season it was a bigger conversation than it's been now, really. I mean, it's more talk about MVP and, you know, the accuracy being sustainable and the deep ball being sustainable and less so him taking really big hits. Right, and even the sack numbers come down. He did get sacked 3 times yesterday.
Yeah, but one.
Well, I know
one really wasn't.
Yeah, no, it really wasn't. It wasn't for many yards at all either. But he was like neck and neck with Cam Ward for a while, and he's starting to slide down that list a little bit, which is good to see.
Text line says Giants fans love when Cam Scadaboo was running around trucking people.
Right.
And they hate it when their guys are getting trucked.
Yeah,
that's a great point.
It is a good point.
That's actually a great point, because I love when Cam Scadaboo was out there trucking people.
Yeah, why not?
They don't seem to love that anymore. Also, some questions about, you didn't think the hit on Olszewski was dirty.
No.
I thought that one was more borderline, and I would get if the Giants had a bigger issue with that. A guy actually got hurt. He got blown up. It was helmet to helmet. I don't know how intentional it was, helmet to helmet.
I don't know if it was intentional. And he has the ball. He's not like a defenseless receiver or one of those type of things. Not the quarterback who you're terrified to let, you know, any defender hit. So, yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate. You don't want to see that, right? Because that's different than the very clean hit on Jackson Dart. Clean is in, like, you know, no head contact at all. But that's, I mean, the special teams play, sometimes you're going to run into that.
617-779-7937. What got into the Patriots last night?
Whew.
Was it the national spotlight? Did Vrabel give him a little reminder after the Bengals game, which was a bit of a letdown the week prior? Again, 617-779-7937. They look like the best team in football. Number one at ESPN. Number one at Pro Football Talk in their power rankings. They look like the most complete football team last night. Statement win heading into the bye week. And guess what, Keith?
What's that?
The Bills waiting after the bye week, hat and t-shirt game.
Oh!
You win that one, you win the AFC East.
Do a nor'easter hat. I'm telling you. You'll thank me later.
That's a great
call. Do the nor'easter hat.
Billy Lanny has all the latest here in trending. We'll get into Drake May and his MVP signature night coming up next.
The exclusive home for Patriots Monday and Friday.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending Now is brought to you by BrotherGiftGuy.com. Last night on Monday Night Football, the New England Patriots blew out the New York Giants 33-15 at Gillette Stadium. Drake May finished the game 24 of 31 for 282 yards and 2 touchdowns, one to Kayshon Boutte and another to Kyle Williams. Marcus Jones had a 94-yard punt return in the victory, and kicker Andy Borogalis was 4 for 5 on field goals with a long of 30 yards. Patriots now enter their bye week on a 10-game winning streak and an NFL best record of 11-2. The Boston Bruins and the Boston Celtics return to action tonight. The Bees are in Detroit to take on the Red Wings. David Pastrnak remains out for the Bruins with an undisclosed injury, and Victor Arvidsson is expected to return to the lineup after missing the last 7 games. Puck drop at Little Caesars Arena is at 7 o'clock. And the Seas are at home tonight hosting the New York Knicks. The Knicks enter tonight's game on a 4-game winning streak. According to WEEI, Celtics insider Justin Turpin, Nemus Kata, and Derek White are both probable for tonight's game. Tip-off at the TD Garden is at 8 o'clock. Ready to make holiday shopping easy? With Brothers Gift Guide, you find it, you wrap it, and done. From creative to practical, find all your gifts in one place. Make the holiday shine at BrotherGiftGuide.com. That's BrotherGiftGuide.com. I'm Billy Lanny. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let me tell you, I think it was a statement last night, even against the terrible Giants team.
Right.
I got some texts last night, Keith Bragg.
Ooh.
Oh, I thought the Giants and the Patriots were pretty close. I thought the gap wasn't all that big. And I'm like, well, yeah, that's what somebody at ESPN wrote.
Yeah, and then we talked about it. We disagreed.
The Giants, difficult schedule, and the Patriots, easy schedule. But even as bad as the Giants are, and they were worse than I expected, and some of it was self-inflicted, guys getting benched.
Some of it's Mike Kafka.
Can't kick field goals. A lot of it's the head coach.
He didn't look right. He talks into the headset oddly. You see how he like in his mouth.
Well, not to get too far into this, but there's a lot of stuff going on that was odd. His hat.
Hat's odd. His hat was ajar.
What'd you think of those eyebrows?
Didn't care for him. And then he's like eating the microphone.
Who drew those in?
Have you ever seen that? We see a lot of coaches on the sidelines with microphones that are all on headset.
Yeah.
He was like swallowing the microphone. I was like, what is this?
I kind of thought he looked like Johnny Galecki with like his eyebrows pointed straight down.
Something. A little Johnny Galecki.
Something.
Yeah.
Something's up with those brows.
I'm not sure he's going to get the job going forward. I could be wrong. Maybe the Giants will love what he's doing there and hire him.
They were pretty stinky. That's still a statement game last night.
Oh, it was.
And I think these power rankings back that up. Like the Patriots had not been getting quote-unquote their respect, if you will. Like they were second and third, but they hadn't been in this top spot before. And now today, look at all the power rankings. They're number one, and they should be.
I mean, they have 11 wins. They're 11-2. And so you could be like,
they were the only team last week with 10 wins, and they weren't there.
True. I guess that's true. But you're like, at some point, you have to say, even if they just played the 10 worst teams in the league consecutively, which is not the case, but even if you do that, 10-game winning streaks don't happen all the time in the NFL. You look back on the last time the Patriots have done it. It was three different years with Tom Brady. You won a Super Bowl, lost a Super Bowl, and then went to an AFC title game. So all like good seasons for the team. 10-game heaters. There are some good teams. There are some playoff teams along the way. Last night, not one of them. But look at how they did it. Their quarterback looked like an MVP again. They're ripping off a punt return touchdown to just give you something else to think about. Like, oh, by the way, they also have this guy who can change a game for you. The defense had these big hits. The special teams had these big hits. It was a pretty dominating game. And I know some are saying on the text line, they're like, well, they only scored 3 points in the second half. They were up 30-7 at the half. They had the ball, besides kneeling the ball down at the end, they had three possessions in the second half offensively. And it was a missed field goal, a punt, and a field goal, right? But they took off 17 minutes or whatever? Just those three drives.
Yeah.
That first drive was after they got the Giants on that first possession. They got the ball back. 13 plays, 35 yards. So they didn't go very far, but they took 6:36 off the clock while they were leading 30-7. If the game was tied and they kind of went nowhere, and you'd be like, what are they doing? But they weren't. Like, I feel like you're going to play the game differently. It's something that Mike Vrabel talked about when he took over the job. It's just sort of like situational awareness, like sort of coaching the game, coaching the score, all that kind of stuff. And you saw that on display. So I'm not like alarmed that they only scored three points in the second half.
Look,
the game was in control.
I want them to score more in the red zone. Touchdowns. I want them to do that. They've been settling for a lot of field goals. But when you're getting special teams touchdowns and big plays from Marcus Jones every week, and I don't know how reliable that is. I don't know how like predictive that is. But maybe with him it is. Keith, third career punt return for a touchdown.
He's awesome.
He has 75 career punt returns. That qualifies him for the official NFL record book. His career punt return average was 13.6, which was already the highest in the NFL before his 94-yard punt return last night. So he is the best punt returner by average in league history. And yeah, honestly,
I was wondering, like, how
honestly, it looks like it. The way, when he's does. Back there, he's why they keep kicking to him?
I don't know. And then they even had that one, like a coward play where they don't go for it on fourth down. And then you're like, part of the calculus should be we got to kick it to that guy.
Yeah, just go
like,
for it.
Like, how insane. Just go for it.
Just go for
he's
it.
He's going to run it right back down our throats. So we might as well just go for it on fourth and short. But no, I mean, he is, he's on the short list of, you know, best punt returners I've seen in my life, right? I mean, Devin Hester was insane. Devin Hester was sort of next level. My guy Eric Metcalf back in the day was really, really good. Dion, when they'd throw Dion back there. Dante Hall was really good.
Dante Hall putting up the X. I liked him.
Dante human Hall was, joystick.
He was the human joystick. Those guys were really, really
good.
Say
Cribs?
Cribs, I think, was a better kick returner than punt returner, but he could do that too, I think. You know, and every once in a while, like, Antonio Brown they'd throw back there, or like honestly, the Patriots have had good ones. Like Troy Brown, Julian Edelman were really good punt returners.
Edelman was a great Brown.
Awesome. Brown was too.
I would take Edelman over Brown, but they were both great. Yeah,
they were both awesome. Punt returners. So like as Patriots fans,
did
were
Patterson
used...
return punts? I feel like he had a punt return touchdown.
He was also
here.
More of a kickoff return guy.
I feel
guy,
like
I think.
That
yeah.
build, like Cribs Patterson, I remember more like bringing like 100-yard kickoffs to the house, where like Devin Hester was both. And he to me is like the greatest of all time, and is the guy that is like. In should be, or did he get in the Hall of Fame, or was he a finalist? I forget.
He's
got in
definitely been a finalist. Is he
should
in?
Be.
I don't know. I know whenever Brian walks in on Twitch, he's like, oh, Devin Hester should
but
be in
like,
the Hall of Fame.
Marcus Jones early in his career, so he still has time to sort of move up these
Hall
lists.
Of Famer.
He's in.
He could be. Oh, he should. Devin Hester should be. Yeah, definitely.
For small hall guys.
Yeah, but I also love a kick and punt return. And he was the best all time at it. You don't think he was the best all time
at it? I'm just saying, I don't know if that by itself should get you in.
Yeah.
The best punter of all time should get in?
No, best punt returner. He's scoring touchdowns. The punter's
just
shooting the ball.
Being the best at something shouldn't necessarily get you in.
But for that, I'm with you. Maybe not every single position, but punt and kick return? Whoo! Started a Super Bowl off with a kick return touchdown. Now, the game went sideways.
Yeah, how'd that go?
Nah, it didn't go great. If they just kept kicking it to him, though, he would have been better off.
Good point.
But Marcus Jones, it is like when it's like, all right, here comes the other team out to punt, you're like, this could be a big play every single time.
It was awesome to see again last night, and just to get things started quickly for the Patriots with the big hits, the big returns, all of it. Meanwhile, Drake May, two more touchdown passes last night. You hear Lisa Salters after the game?
Yeah.
She's like, no 300-yard games. How? What's up with that?
He it's like kinda, one of our callers.
He kind of like laughed it off, but it sounded like Ken.
Yeah, no,
it was
like, Ken.
No 300-yard games. What's up with that?
I don't really. I think you hit it like a few weeks back. Like it's sort of a statistical oddity. Because he's having these good games. He leads the league in passing yards.
It's interesting. I don't know if it's important to quote a wise man.
Yeah.
That's what I would say about
that. A couple
of
wise men have said that.
Yeah.
So even if he's had an extra game more than most, but even if you do average yards per game, he's only trailing Dak and Mahomes. So, like, throwing for 280 in a win is fine. But they're like, if you get to 300, though. It is strange because you see random guys, like Jacoby Brissett's done it three times this year. So it is strange. It's coming. It's coming. It's going to happen eventually.
It's going to happen.
Maybe he'll save it for the playoffs.
Hopefully it happens in a win. It might happen in a loss. He is, by the way, back to being the betting favorite. He should be. Stafford didn't have a good week. And Stafford, I think, surged at the right time a couple of weeks ago and deserved to be the betting favorite in that moment. Based on another week of data, Stafford playing poorly and May playing great for a national audience, he's back to the betting favorite, -125. On FanDuel compared
Stafford,
to plus 125 against Stafford.
Stafford does have 9 more touchdown passes and 2 fewer picks in one less game. Like, Stafford's numbers are pretty crazy. Now,
he's got Devontae. Anytime you're down at the one, they just huck it up to Devontae.
That's true. Well, Drake's got Kayshon Booty.
No, I know, but I mean, I feel
bring the splits in a little bit.
I feel like there's a higher degree of difficulty on Booty than there is on Devontae Adams.
Yeah, no, that's probably true. But I'm saying his numbers are impressive.
This was Mike Vrabel after the game. On what he appreciates most about Drake May.
Pretty consistent and loud MVP chance for Drake tonight. Just what impressed you most about his performance?
Man, I think he's able to keep his composure, keep his eyes downfield. I thought he makes some of the best plays, I think, are just the extensions, the scramble for a first down, to scramble and stay in bounds there late in the game, knowing the situation forces them to call a timeout, and then, not throw an incompletion there at the end of the game and, scramble. And selfishly, he probably could have said, hey, I'm going to try to throw a touchdown and, just go and slide and use the clock. So those are the things that probably don't show up on the stat sheet.
I thought, you know, being accurate downfield and being able to give, you know, Kayshawn a real catchable ball there in the end zone was nice too.
Okay, that and the Williams throw were both great.
Kyle was Williams. That Williams touchdown a touchdown?
No.
No?
I don't think
it was either.
He went foot, knee out of bounds, second foot. I watched like five times.
I got to watch
it. And
again,
they they didn't even talk about it. They like showed it quickly, and then the next thing.
Clearly, I didn't think about it very much. Yeah.
No, I'm with you, Nick. I didn't think so. And I thought they were going to call it back. Next thing you know, they're lining up for the extra point. And I'm like, okay. And like all those are reviewed, so it's not like Kafka could have reviewed it. It's a scoring play. But if you watch it, by the time he controls the ball, foot, knee out of bounds, then second foot.
I just threw some eggplant emojis on it. I didn't watch, apparently.
No, it was a great catch. What?
Second foot. No way. That's a clean catch. What are you
talking
about?
Out of bounds. Look at his knee.
His first foot is on the bounce.
Knee down. Out of bounds.
Oh, maybe not. His right foot is on the ground when he catches it. Left foot in. Then the knee goes down.
I don't think his back foot was in when he first caught it.
It's the Dontavian Wicks catch from Thanksgiving all over again.
Oh, yeah. I didn't think that was a catch either.
I think he's in.
Do you think the Wicks catch on Thanksgiving was a touchdown? I don't think it was.
I think
either.
This was more of a touchdown than that.
Okay.
You meet me there?
No, neither were touchdowns. Non-touchdowns.
You were calling for this, though, in the offseason. You're like, I want Vrabel to help May in these situational moments.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Not to say McDaniels gets no credit for that. I actually want to later on give McDaniels some credit.
Yeah.
But some of the situational stuff, I do feel like Vrabel has a big impact there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And that's one of the things where you're looking at it, where you're like, all right, even though Vrabel is a defensive guy, and you and I were both saying, hey, get an offensive head coach for your young quarterback, there's at least the confidence that this guy has full control over the game. You know, so if he's going to be a defensive guy, he's truly a head coach. We saw it firsthand in training camp. He spent more time with the offense then. I think he was trying to learn what Josh was doing, and then that way he could also apply just the overall, like, feel of the game. So, yeah, I mean, I think he's done a great job, and you can see it with Drake May. It's pretty clear that he's sort of way more comfortable in all these different moments in the game.
617-779-7937. You can jump in here on a Patriots Monday, on a Tuesday, on Jones and Keefe. We'll tier off all the NFL teams coming up at 11:30 on a Tier Tuesday. We will talk to Tom E. Curran on a Tom E. Tuesday at high noon, plus a key for madness for you at 12:45. Hunter Henry and Christian Ellis scheduled to join on a Patriots Monday on a Tuesday as well. So we'll get to your feedback. And if you missed any of Mike Vrabel this morning on the Greg Hill Show, let's just say he liked the violence that his team brought last night. More on that next.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains. Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mike Vrabel, it's a weekly tradition. Victory Monday / Tuesdays, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
You hear inside the Patriots locker room here on Jones and Keefe. That was Jelani Tavai breaking it down after Vrabel. Hunter Henry, a week ago, scored a touchdown, dedicated it to Jelani Tavai. And the Patriots tight end, Hunter Henry, joining us right now on Jones and Keefe, as he does every Patriots Monday. It's brought to you by Drains by James, Eastern Mass's top provider of drain and sewer cleaning and repair. By Shaw's and Star Market, you can look for the new lower prices every day tags throughout the store to save on the items that you buy most. And by Verizon, the New England Patriots, powered by Verizon 5G. Hunter Henry, how we doing this week?
Doing good, guys.
Statement win last night on Monday Night Football, my words. Complete win, offense, defense, special teams, they're all married up. How's it feel to be 11-2 heading into the bye week?
Feels good, man. A lot of hard work, you know, a lot of weeks. And we've got a lot of football ahead of us, so yeah, it feels good.
Not to get too wishy-washy or emotional here, but how close is this group? You know, we heard you talk about Jelani Tavai last week. We hear him breaking down the locker room after the game. On the broadcast, Joe Buck and Troy Aikman were talking about how close you and Drake May are, and it just seems like from the outside, this group is very much all together this season.
Yeah, man, this is we got a special bond in this locker room, man. I think it started in the off season, but I just feel like, man, it's one of the closest locker rooms I've ever been a part of. Honestly, at any level, just guys that care for each other. There's young guys. There's a good blend of young guys and old guys. You know, as being one of the older guys, just trying to help out the young guys. We've grown relationships with, you know, everybody. I feel like everybody's just very close. We're excited to go out there and play for one another. It's fun to watch our defense play. It's fun to watch our special teams play when we're on the sideline, man. It just we feed off of each other.
You say it started in the offseason? I mean, yeah, you don't have to share if you don't want to, but we're just curious. When you say it started in the offseason, like what was an example of that, or what could you tell us about where that began to where it is now?
Yeah, I mean, I just think every year is a new year, man. Like, every year is a new team, and that's a time when everything is slowed down. And obviously, you're focusing on football, but at the same time, I think that's where you really build some of your team, like that camaraderie a little bit. And you're able to, you know, things aren't moving at the pace they're moving at in the season or training camp, and you're able to just kind of get to know guys, you know, and in a different light. You know, compete with guys, you know, work together with guys, kind of go through some hard times with guys, and you just kind of come together. So, you know, that's always – offseason is a sneaky time to really just kind of grow closer as a team.
You know, Will Campbell and Jared Wilson have been out there since week one. Unfortunately, both are hurt, so you had to go to some other guys on the offensive line last night going up against a good pass rush for the Giants. How do you think everybody did up front?
Yeah, I mean, from just, you know, what I know thus far, I love how those guys competed, man. Just kept battling, kept fighting. You know, those guys have played. You know, they played a lot of football for us last year, and obviously haven't got out there a ton for us this year, sparingly. But just felt like they competed at a high level. You know, had a full week of prep get ready for that game, and that was a great front, man. Like, they've been causing a lot of havoc. And to kind of settle things down early, it was, you know, those guys competed at a high level.
Big hits last night. Christian Ellis had a couple of them. Harold Landry had another one. I mean, Dart kind of slid. But Landry fired him up, the Giants, that is, with a hit early. What does that do for you guys on offense when that's happening on the other side?
Yeah, man. It brings a lot of energy. Brings a lot of energy to see those guys flying around, man. Like, you know, our defense has been playing at a high level all year, and it was cool to see them make a lot of plays on primetime football. You know, those guys have done a lot of good things for us. We've had to rely on them in a lot of games, and it was really cool to see them make a lot of plays.
Is there something different about Monday Night Football? I mean, I know there's primetime on Thursday, there's primetime on Sunday, and, you know, once you get into the playoffs, there's Saturday games and everything, but just as, like, a old-school fan of football, is there something different about Monday nights?
Man, when you play under the lights in prime time, man, there's nothing better. You know, everybody's watching. You know, you're the only game on. So it's what you dream of since you were a kid, man. Like, there's nothing better than playing in prime time. You know, Monday nights feel long because they make the week a little longer. But it's still, once you get to the game, man, there's nothing better than playing under the lights.
Mike Vrabel said after the game, the hit on Jackson Dart was also kind of a lesson for Drake May and quarterbacks everywhere to avoid contact, get out of bounds, live to play another play. How do you think Drake May has done with that this year?
He's done great. I mean, I think he's learning. He's continuing to grow in that. I mean, we talk to him about it a lot. I mean, he's our conductor, man. He's our guy. We need him out there. So the last thing we need is him taking unnecessary hits. And, you know, he's doing a great job of that. He's playing at a high level, and we need him out there. So just trying to avoid those hits as much as we can.
10 in a row, 11-2, top of the AFC, heading into the bye week. So you know what time it is. It's time for the Hunter Henry Surprise Question of the Week.
It's time for the Hunter Henry Surprise.
Henry, touchdown. Whoa.
Surprise, Sydney.
Hey, surprise.
Surprise, motherfucker.
Surprise. We wasted the good surprise on you.
Golly, y'all digging for the surprise in the day, huh?
Question of the Week.
All right, Hunter, once again, on a scale of 1 to 85, 85 being the most surprised you've ever been, 1 not surprised at all. How surprised were you when you found out Lane Kiffin was bailing on Ole Miss to take over LSU?
Probably 10.
I was surprised.
And that was the Hunter Henry Surprise Question of the Week.
You knew that had to be a low number.
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah. But as an aside, Hunter, just overall, I mean, it's been a few years since you were playing in college, but just there's got to be something they can do about that. I know players want to go to other schools. And I know coaches want to go to other schools. But right before the playoff, to leave a big-time program and then leave them without a head coach, there's got to be something they can do.
Yeah, I don't know if we need to change the schedule or what it is. I feel disappointed for the kids at Ole Miss. You know, the guys that put a lot of work in throughout the year, and you know, you achieve a goal of like we're gonna make it into the tournament, and you give yourself a chance for it to be for a championship, and it's just that's.
Oh, we lost him.
Oh, what? Wow!
Wow! He pulled the ripcord.
LSU. LSU was like, no.
Big LSU pulled the ripcord there.
Yeah, but like
one.
I think that might be the easiest way to do it is like his point about like the you got to do something with the schedule or like you can't allow it. I heard Vrabel talk about it a little bit this morning when they asked him, and he was like, look, the NFL doesn't do everything perfectly. However, stuff like this, you know, like the hiring process, like you need to wait to hire coordinators until after their team has been eliminated. Now, sometimes there's like dirty secrets and things like that.
I was going to say, I mean, you brought up Parcells yesterday.
Yeah, no, like it's a bad
one. That still happens in the NFL.
It can. It doesn't happen as frequently as it does in college. And then that also got kind of leaked out, you know, right before the Super Bowl, whereas they haven't even started. If Ole Miss goes on a run, they have like 4 games left or whatever, right? Like that's a lot
of
time that you've taken this guy off the board. And also, yeah, it's strange to me. Like it's just I don't know how you work around it, but they got to do something. I think my idea yesterday of like all the players are getting paid now, treat it as like a league where there's like trades or something like that, because like the coaches shouldn't just be able to like leave whenever they want. It doesn't make any sense. You signed a contract.
Yeah, that's hard to enforce, but I agree. Yeah. Something has to happen there. You think it was the big snowstorm that took out his phone? Maybe that was it.
Oh, the impending snowstorm.
Yeah.
I've heard things.
You get snow out there, Nick? Were you driving through snow this morning?
It started snowing when I was leaving.
Oh, wow. So he already got it.
Yeah. He made a little snowman.
Okay, nice. Snowman. How about that? Oh, you think he's just still talking? You think he's just, still on, the, you think he's just still on the phone just like gabbing away?
He's like, finally, those two shut up. You're like, oh, they're gone.
All right, good stuff from Hunter Henry. Yes. If you missed any of it, Odyssey app, AUDACY. Get it on your phone. It's free. It's easy. Take it with you wherever you go. You won't miss a second of Jones and Keefe. We'll talk to Christian Ellis later on in the program. Tier Tuesday coming up at 11:30. Tommy Tuesday at high noon. And a Key for Madness at 12:45. You'll hear from Mike Vrabel this morning on the Greg Hill Show as well. If you missed any of that, also on the Odyssey app. Plus, it's all coming up Patriots again. They played well last night.
They did.
The Giants, on the other hand, did not. Let's get to it next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.